you're here. Fellowship, sweeter, knowing you're near. So good to see you. I hope that it's fair.
Everyone loves you.
We're glad you're here.
We'll magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Wednesday, August 2nd, 2017. My Wednesday and Friday co-host, Pastor Jason Schiffo, is enjoying a much-needed trip away. Actually, he's camping with the family for the first time, so be praying that up, as Tasha wasn't quite sure if she was going to enjoy this little excursion, but Jason was doing everything to make it just right. I think they're spending 4, maybe 5 nights in a tent. But in light of me the last 6 weeks facilitating an alpha course at the Madison Avenue Free Methodist Church, and I was asked to lead a group of about 12 or 13 Chinese students that wanted to hear the lessons and be asked the questions in English, I volunteered and have thoroughly loved it and have seen God at work in a variety of ways. And so I thought I would share a little bit of the alpha course with you on today and Friday's edition of Mark and Friends, in lieu of Jason's absence. So let me begin with a reading from John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Well, today you're going to hear some of Nicky Gumbel's testimony, how he looked at Christianity as being dull and boring, untrue, and quite irrelevant to his life, as Jesus lived over 2,000 years ago and over 2,000 miles away from Nicky's hometown. But as he began to search, he knew there was something missing in his life. And might that be true for you today? Have you wondered, what on earth are you doing here? Do you hunger for meaning and purpose? Have you asked, what is the point of life, or where am I heading? Well, if that's you or someone you know, stay tuned as we'll share Nicky Gumbel and the Alpha Course over the airwaves of Great News Radio. Let me also mention about this Alpha Talk. This is the introduction session, which is usually followed by about 10 weeks of very specific teachings on the Christian faith. But this broadcast is not Alpha in its entirety. Alpha is a series of interactive sessions exploring the Christian faith, typically including food, a short talk and discussion, and then breaking into small groups where you can share your thoughts. You can find out more about Alpha at alphausa.org, alphausa.org. The following broadcast you're about to hear is produced by Alpha International, copyright Alpha International 2014, with the Alpha Course copyrighted 2007. But let me lay some groundwork before you hear from Nicky Gumbel. Reading from John chapter 14. Now these are words of Jesus. "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and this will be enough for us." Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip, even after I've been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. and I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Oh, I got to keep reading here, everyone. Verse 15 of John chapter 14. If you loved me, you would obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be with you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Oh, great words from John chapter 14. Here's Nicky Gumbel.
I'm a clergyman in the Church of England, and I love the Church of England. I love the Anglican Church. But while the worldwide church has been growing rapidly, the Church of England has been in steady decline. We've been losing so many people that some people have speculated that maybe even God has left the Church of England. There was an article in Private Eye which was headed, God to Leave Church of England. What it said was this. Following the example set by leading former Anglicans, God has indicated that he too is to leave the Church of England. Friends of God believe the issue of women priests to have been behind the Almighty's sudden decision to convert to Rome. According to sources close to God, he's been unhappy for some time with the direction the Anglican Church has been taking, and has now finally had enough. A Church of England spokesman said, losing God is a bit of a blow. But it's just something we're going to have to learn to live with. For much of my life, I've not been a Christian. I think had three objections to Christianity. First of all, I thought it was boring. I found everything about Christianity, religion, the church, so dull. I had sympathy with something that Robert Louis Stevenson once entered in his diary, as if he was recording the most extraordinary phenomenon. He wrote this, I have been to church today and am not depressed. That was my reaction. I found it so dull. Secondly, I thought it was untrue. I had what I called intellectual objections to Christianity. I was describing myself as an atheist. I actually described myself rather pretentiously as a logical determinist. And I actually wrote an essay at school disproving the existence of God. Such was the state of religious knowledge in my school that they put it forward for the school prize for religious knowledge. So I thought it was untrue. And I also thought it was irrelevant to my life. I couldn't think how someone who'd lived 2,000 years ago, 2,000 miles away, could have any relevance to my life today. School, we used to sing that hymn, rather wonderful hymn actually, Jerusalem. And did those feet, meaning the feet of Jesus, in ancient time, walk upon England's mountains green? And we all knew the answer was, no, they did not. Jesus never came anywhere near England. And it just seemed totally irrelevant to my life. At the same time, I think I was actually quite ignorant. I didn't know very much about Christianity at all. And I think increasingly in our secularized society, that's true for many. One of the roles I have here is that I'm an assistant chaplain to the Brompton Hospital. And one of the things that we do is on a Sunday morning, we go around and we offer people Holy Communion. And sometimes when we say to people, would you like Holy Communion? We get some very odd replies. One hospital chaplain wrote down some of the replies he'd had to that question. One man said, in answer to the question, would you like Holy Communion? He said, no thanks, I'm Church of England. Another said, no thanks, I asked for cornflakes. And a third said, no thanks, I've never been circumcised. So I was very ignorant about the Christian faith, but I think I can say now, I didn't feel this at the time, but now I can say, looking back, something was missing. Fascinating to me that one thing that Prince Charles and Princess Diana were agreed about was this. Prince Charles spoke of his belief that for all the advances of science, there remains deep in the soul a persistent and unconscious anxiety that something is missing. And Princess Diana, speaking at a charity event, spoke of an overwhelming sense of loss and isolation that undermines many people's efforts to survive and cope with the complexities of modern life. They know, she said, something is missing. And that was my experience. I say I didn't feel it at the time, but looking back, I can say it was a reality because I was always looking forward to the next thing in life, rather than living for the present, in a sense. I remember at school thinking, maybe when I'm a prefect, that will be what life's all about. And eventually I was a very lowly prefect, and it was great. For about 3 weeks. And then I thought, there must be more to life than this. And I thought, well, maybe when I've left school, that will be what it's all about. And then I left school, and that was great. But after about 3 weeks, I started to think, there must be more to life than this. And I thought, well, maybe if I could get a girlfriend. And somehow or other, I don't know how I managed it, I managed to find a girlfriend. And after about 3 weeks... And I think for many people, they go through life like that. We're always searching for the next thing. And when we get there, we find it doesn't satisfy. And Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I'm the one person who can satisfy that kind of spiritual hunger that is in every human heart. So that other things, however good they may be, relationships, work, hobbies, whatever, sport, somehow they always leave us with this feeling that something's missing. A Japanese woman put it like this. She said, in Japan, they need to eat rice. She said, it's like we've got two stomachs. We've got one stomach for ordinary food and one stomach for rice. And however much ordinary food, meat, potatoes, fruit, vegetables we eat, we don't feel full. We don't feel satisfied until we eat rice. And I think if Jesus had been speaking to her, he'd have said, I'm the rice of life. I'm the one person who can satisfy this other stomach. Perhaps the greatest columnist of our generation, Bernard Levin, who often used to say he was not a Christian. One time he said, for the 14,000th time, I'm telling you, I'm not a Christian. But he wrote this. Countries like ours are full of people who have all the material comforts they desire. Together with such non-material blessings as a happy family, and yet lead lives of quiet and at times noisy desperation, understanding nothing but the fact that there is a hole inside them. And however much food and drink they pour into it, however many motor cars and television sets they stuff it with, however many well-balanced children and loyal friends they parade around the edges of it, it aches. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I'm the one person who can satisfy that hunger. Now, why is that? Jesus said, I'm the way and the truth and the life. First of all, this. Jesus brings direction to a lost world. He said, I am the way. Friends of mine, when their children were younger, they had an au pair girl. This au pair girl was struggling to learn the English language, and she hadn't quite mastered all the English idioms. One time there was an argument going on between the children up in a room upstairs, and this au pair girl rushed upstairs to sort it out. And what she meant to say was, what on earth are you doing? But what she actually said was, what are you doing on earth? Now, the question she asked was a very good question. What are we doing on earth? Where did we come from? Where are we heading? Who are we? Does our life have any ultimate meaning and purpose? What happens when we die? These, if you like, are the really big questions. They're the first order questions of life. And I guess many people are on a kind of search. They're trying to find some significance, some meaning, some purpose. I was fascinated reading a book by Leo Tolstoy. I'd read War and Peace and Anna Karenina, but I never read this book called A Confession, in which he tells his life story, his search for meaning, for purpose. He describes how he rejected Christianity as a child. And then as he went on through life, he became very ambitious. First of all, he thought, well, maybe pleasure is the answer, just having a great time. He entered the social whirl of Moscow and St. Petersburg, drinking heavily, sleeping around, gambling, living a wild life. And he found it just didn't satisfy. And he thought, well, maybe money is the answer. He'd inherited a large estate and started to make a lot of money out of his books. But he found even however much money he had, it didn't satisfy. And he thought, well, maybe the answer is success, fame, importance. He wrote what the Encyclopedia Britannica described as one of the two or three greatest novels in world literature. But still, he said, it didn't satisfy. He thought, well, maybe the answer is family life. To give my family the best possible life. He'd married in 1862 and had a happy family and 13 children, which, he says, distracted him from his search for the overall meaning of life. He said he'd achieved all his ambitions and was surrounded by what is considered to be complete happiness. Yet one question drove him to the verge of suicide. And the question was this: what meaning has my life that the inevitability of death does not destroy? And he tried to search in every field of science and philosophy to try and come up with an answer to this. And the only answer he could come up with from philosophy or science was this: to the question, why do I live? In the infinity of space and the infinity of time, infinitely small particles mutate with infinite complexity. He didn't find that very satisfying. So he started to look around at his contemporaries. And he found that many of them were just avoiding the issue. They weren't really thinking about that. And eventually he found in the peasant people of Russia the answer he'd been looking for. In their faith in God through Jesus Christ. 100 years later, nothing's changed. Freddie Mercury, the lead singer in the rock group Queen, had amassed a huge fortune, attracted thousands, probably millions, of fans. But he admitted in an interview, shortly before his death, that he was desperately lonely. He said this: you can have everything in the world and still be the loneliest man. And that's the most bitter type of loneliness. Success has brought me world idolization and millions of pounds. But it's prevented me from having the one thing we all need. A loving, ongoing relationship. And ultimately, there is only one relationship that is completely loving and totally ongoing. And that is a relationship with God. And Jesus said, I'm the way to that relationship. I'm the way to find the purpose for which we're made.
Well, listening friends, I'm going to jump in here. Christianity is not boring. It is about living life to the full. It is not untrue. It is the truth. It is not irrelevant. It transforms the whole of our lives. You've been listening to an introductory session to Alpha. And I should point out this broadcast is not Alpha in its entirety, because an Alpha series is filled with interactive sessions exploring the Christian faith, typically including food, a short talk, and discussion in small groups where you can share your thoughts. You can find out more about Alpha at alphausa.org, alphausa.org. We'll continue this on the Friday edition of Mark and Friends. In fact, I may back it up just a few minutes to lay the groundwork and the context to learn about, is there more to life than this? We'll look at the evidence to see if it's true, and if there is more meaning to life, that the great discovery that any of us can find is understanding the Lord Jesus Christ, not just intellectual knowledge, head knowledge, but heart knowledge through a personal experience with Him. Jesus came to set us free. A lot more to say on the Friday edition of Mark and Friends. If there's a stirring in your heart or you have some questions about the Christian faith, call 1-888-NEED-HIM. That's 1-888-NEED-HIM. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.